WAUK 540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Eggland's Best.
I'm Wendy Gillette in New York. Millions on Florida's West Coast are stacking sandbags and stocking up on supplies as Tropical Storm Idalia gains strength in the Gulf of Mexico.
Years past, we'd come down here and there'd be a line half a mile down the road with people backed up trying to get sandbags. Go ahead and get them early.
It could hit Wednesday as a Category 3 hurricane, Governor Ron DeSantis.
We'll have a total of 5,500 National Guard by the end of today that will be mobilized. They've got a lot of assets at their disposal, and they stand by ready to help with the post-storm mission.
Former President Donald Trump's federal election interference case now has a new trial date, March 4th, right as primary races are heating up. CBS News correspondent Scott McFarlane.
D.C. Federal Judge Tanya Chutkin said, quote, "I take seriously the defense's request Mr. Trump be handled like any other defendant, and I intend to do so." She said the 7 months between the arraignment in this case and the March 4th, 2024 trial date is adequate for them to get ready for trial. And she says Trump's political and business schedule will not be factors.
President Biden says he intends to call a couple family members of the three victims killed in a racist shooting attack in Jacksonville, Florida over the weekend.
Police say a white man in his 20s used an AR-15 style weapon in the attack. He shot and killed himself at the scene. The president told reporters he has reached out to the families of the victims.
I asked for whether or not it's appropriate the local people to contact the families. Two of them are prepared to be contacted. One does not want to be contacted.
Christopher Cruz, CBS News, Washington.
Alerts went out at the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill this afternoon, warning of an armed, dangerous person on and near campus and advising those in the area to take shelter and stay away from windows. All classes and events were canceled for the day. There was an apparent shooting, but police have not yet shared details of what happened. The U.S. Open is underway in Queens, New York. Does an American have a good chance of winning? CBS's Jerika Duncan has a preview.
It's been since 2017, and that was Sloane Stephens who won the U.S. Open. And then as far as the men go, you got to go back to 2003 to see a champion there from the United States, Andy Roddick. So we'll see what happens. But essentially, people will look at the roster, and they see seven Americans in the top 30. Mm. Three of them are women. So the chances are better than they've been for quite some time.
Just after the closing bell, stocks finished up. The Dow gained 213 points. This is CBS News.
Eggland's Best. The only eggs with more fresh and delicious taste, plus superior nutrition, because the way we care is anything but ordinary. Only Eggland's Best.
Civic Media radio stations, providing your news, conversations, and fun you won't find anywhere else.
With news on WAUK The Shaw, I'm Stuart J. Waddles. A woman from Cedarburg is accused of embezzling funds from schools that cater to children with autism and disabilities. According to a criminal complaint, 42-year-old Heather Wenthold held leadership and financial roles at a Sonnenberg school branch in Racine. After her dismissal, she allegedly deleted numerous files and disabled the company's email system. It's alleged she misused the funds for personal expenses like purchasing a hot tub, acquiring new appliances, and funding vacations. Vibrant concrete planters have been positioned within freshly painted bike lanes on Milwaukee's east side. The initiative, introduced by the East Side Business Improvement District, seeks to create a more tranquil and secure street environment, with more improvements coming like concrete separation and enhanced intersections. With news on WAUK The Shaw, I'm Stuart J. Waddles.
The kids are heading back to class, but when the subject is school, we have to talk about the first kindergarten started in Wisconsin. Marguerite Schurz created what is known as America's First Kindergarten in 1856, teaching a small class at her family's home in Watertown. It's about 50 miles west northwest of Milwaukee. So can you guess, when did kindergarten become part of the state's public school system? The answer coming up. Schurz learned about kindergarten in Germany, where the idea was common. It wasn't in America, and her class grew so quickly, she had to move to a bigger space. Today, the building remains as a Watertown museum. So did you guess when kindergarten became part of the public school system in the state? It was 1898, but 42 years prior, the Schurz School started it all, making this a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
If I could be you.
And you could be me.
For just 1 hour.
If you could find a way.
To get inside.
Each other's mind.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
We've all felt left out. And for some, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Looking for more local programming? Check out our website, civicmedia.us, to see our entire lineup.
Warning, you are about to listen to the greatest radio show ever. And due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening.
Three, two, one.
Now live from the Devil Radio Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning. Welcome to the Devil's Advocate Show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
Here is your host, Mike Crute.
Welcome to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Dom, this will be a Mathy Monday edition.
Oh, no. Welcome. Math on Mondays on the radio. It's going to be a tough one. Crudy, good to see you. Nate, working the board hard. We appreciate that. Our fair audience, welcome.
Well, just a small point of distinction. I didn't say math. Mathy. Math adjacent.
Like truthy.
Like truthy. We're going to do a Mathy Monday edition. Welcome to it, folks. Dom, a couple of things. The House GOP is hoping to defund the investigation and prosecution of Donald Trump.
Defund the police, Crudy?
Something of that sort, Dom.
To interfere in a lawful prosecution of a political ally for the benefit of his election? That's what the House wants to do? That seems like weaponizing the government to me, man.
It seems very totalitarian adjacent, Dom. Also, Donald Trump's got a trial date on the January 6th, and it's coming up pretty rapidly. Now, a few of our legal scholars have not been encouraging. They've been a little pessimistic about how quickly this trial will proceed, Dom. But the trial, the January 6th, the federal trial of Donald Trump, the former president, scheduled to start the Monday before Super Tuesday. Oh, and the right's losing its mind. They feel like that's purposeful math, Dom. Less than conspicuous, the timing of the start of the trial. Donald Trump will be at trial when Super Tuesday's happening, Dom. That's a lot of states. That's a lot of delegates in the GOP nomination process on the ballot that day.
Monday, March 4th, 2024. And his, of course, his attorneys and the Republicans all very upset about this. 7 months away. They got plenty of time.
Well, they asked for 2026, Dom.
April of 2026. That wasn't going to happen.
You know, after the election and the whatever. They didn't get it. Chutkin said March of 2024. I pray to God that is the date, Dom.
Oh, I think it's going, if it's not on that, you know, perhaps she has a little bit of give here and there, lots of things to happen between now and then with motions and timing and whatnot. But if that's what she's pushing, I think it's going to be very close to that.
Dominic, between myself, I did a little math off the radio and the Washington Post. They've laid out the, let's just call it the the election calendar, the primary calendar, and the onset of the multiple Trump trials being set for the spring and winter, Dom. Well, it's going to be a busy, busy time up around here. We're going to have a good time. But let's get back to the mathiness in our own backyard. And when I say mathiness, the Republicans sometimes like to utilize sort of a math adjacent technique. And we're going to talk how that plays out in the case of Wisconsin. What? She's named election commissioner, Megan Wolf. She is what? She heads the elections commission, but she's not on the elections commission. So anyways, let's get to the reporting of Molly Beck. Maybe she'll do a better job of explaining it because it is a Monday. The state's legislative attorneys disagree with the Republican Senate leader's analysis of state law. That's shocking. That he is using to move forward with proceedings that could oust the state's top election official from her job leading the Wisconsin Elections Commission. Again, I talk about Megan Wolf. Senate Majority Leader Devin LeMahieu in June launched confirmation proceedings for Commission Administrator Megan Wolf, even though the bipartisan panel of elections commissioners failed to put forward four votes. Here's the mathy part, Dom. Failed to put forward four votes to renominate her for another term. A majority vote required under state law. A hearing on her nomination is scheduled to take place tomorrow. In a June meeting to address the end of Wolf's term, commissioners deadlocked on how to respond to a push from Republican lawmakers to oust Wolf over discontent with the outcome of the 2020 election. Well, you know, because they're making this up, Tom.
Oh, right.
Know, my discontent? Brain's trying to figure out, well, is this the truth or is this what they're claiming the truth? Well, they're discontent. They're discontented with facts, Tom. That's the problem. Pardon me. The GOP lawmakers hope to oust Wolf over discontent with the outcome of the 2020 election and the practices the commission recommended to help voters navigate the coronavirus pandemic, some of which have since been deemed illegal by Wisconsin judges. That was before the turning of the Wisconsin Supreme Court, though, Dom. And Democratic election commissioners and Republican lawmakers each deployed unexpected legal maneuvers that week in the fight over Wolf's future. Unexpected! Unusual trades!
Crudy, Molly Beck reminds us, first, Democratic commissioners abstained from voting on a motion to reappoint Wolf to her job in an effort to protect her from Republican senators who had signaled they would fire her if the reappointment was forwarded to them. With just three of the six commissioners not voting, the motion to reappoint Wolf failed without a majority. Democrats argued that there is no need for a vote because of a recent state Supreme Court ruling that sided with Frederick Preen, a former Natural Resources Board chairman who decided to stay in his position nearly 2 years after his term expired. Isn't it weird how things come around and kind of bite you in the ass like that? The ruling's majority opinion said that the expiration of a term does not create a vacancy, meaning that holdovers in any position appointed by the governor can remain until a confirmation hearing is held by the state Senate. With commissioners failing to forward an appointment to the Senate, Democrats argued Wolf could remain in her job indefinitely. But a day later, Senate Republicans moved forward anyway. LeMahieu contended the 3-0 commission vote that resulted in a failed motion to reappoint Wolf was actually enough votes to reappoint Wolf, even though state law says such votes require a majority of commissioners or four votes. 1, 2, 3, 4. And Crudy, how many votes were there?
Three, Dem. One.
One, two, three.
That's where the mathy part comes in.
Mathy. And in three is less than four, right?
Last time I checked, but I was never great with the math, if you know what I'm saying.
All right, but the law requires four. We can all agree on that, right? All right.
Well, not your buddy LeMahieu.
Meh. They could have voted no. They didn't vote no. That would have been a tie vote, but it was a unanimous vote, LeMahieu said, after a floor session during which Republicans voted to move forward with Wolf's nomination. 3-0 is a two-thirds vote. As a result, Republican state senators voted to pass a resolution to take up Wolf's reappointment, and Senator Dan Knodel, who leads the Senate Elections Committee, set a hearing for Tuesday, I believe, it's toward tomorrow. But Wolf said last week she will not appear after Democratic Attorney General Josh Call said there's no vacancy to fill based on the recent Supreme Court ruling. Now, Crudy, the Wisconsin Legislative Council, in a new memo says an appointment or a reappointment requires four votes under state law.
No, quote, I'm pretty sure you only need three.
Hold on. Let me hear. State law requires a majority of WC commissioners to appoint an administrator. Currently, a majority constitutes at least four votes. Legislative Council attorneys Katie Bender Olson and Peggy Hurley wrote in an analysis prepared at the request of State Senator Mark Spreitzer, a Democratic member of the Senate's Elections Commission Committee. Based on the statutory text and conventions of statutory interpretations in Wisconsin, the best interpretation of state law is that appointment of a WEC administrator requires four votes of the commission, the attorney wrote. This is because the provision relating directly to the appointment of an administrator refers to a majority of the members of the commission and not to a majority of those voting, because actions of the commission generally require a two-thirds vote. Such state law refers to members present and voting in other statutory provisions, but refers to a majority of the members for appointing WEC administrator. If a majority of a commission meant a majority of those members voting, then appearance of this language in other statutes would be
superfluous.
Superfluous. Thank you. A spokesman for LeMahieu did not immediately respond to a request. Told reporters in June, an attorney supported his argument. Hey, LeMahieu's got an attorney to support his argument. I wonder if it was the same attorney who said, yeah, go ahead and sign the fraudulent elector scheme. Maybe you should get some different attorneys.
Do you think he's being represented by Kenneth Cheesebro?
Cheesebro.
Rudy, maybe, perhaps. Maybe, yeah. Eastman, Jeffrey Clark. James Bob. Yeah, maybe no. James Bob.
No, who's Ron Johnson's attorney buddy?
Jim Troupas.
Yeah. Yes.
Jim Troupas. So, if I understand correctly, Dom, the state's legislative council has said that the Republican interpretation is really weak and should not be the interpretation we use.
I mean,
which
weak,
is why
weak would imply it might be have some semblance of standing. No,
it might be
wrong.
Colorable in some way, shape, or form. Don.
It's totally wrong. It's the majority. You need four. Your own attorneys told you you need four. So LeMahieu, who was your attorney? And go ahead. Let's talk about this more. Let's bring him up. State your case, man. Tell your own attorneys they're wrong.
Well, they're not his attorneys. If you've noted them, while the Republicans continuously spend the taxpayers' dollars in defense of meritless positions, they do so with private counsel. Because, of course, they want to shape the interpretation of their counsel. They are the clients, right? Not we, the people. We don't use legislative counsel, according to Republicans, you know, because they don't like their interpretations of Wisconsin constitutional law.
It stops them from doing what they want. Hey, just for the record, four is greater than three.
I'm not clear. What's the number of the beast anyways, Dom? You would know that.
Let's hear it. 844-967-2789. We are the Devil's Evans, coming back with your calls and more on Ron Johnson.
The count. They call me the count because I love to count.
The kids are heading back to class, but when the subject is school, we have to talk about the first kindergarten started in Wisconsin. Marguerite Schurz created what is known as America's First Kindergarten in 1856, teaching a small class at her family's home in Watertown. It's about 50 miles west, northwest of Milwaukee. So can you guess, when did kindergarten become part of the state's public school system? The answer coming up.
Schurz learned about kindergarten in Germany, where the idea was common. It wasn't in America, and her class grew so quickly, she had to move to a bigger space. Today, the building remains as a Watertown museum. So did you guess when kindergarten became part of the public school system in the state? It was 1898, but 42 years prior, the Schurz School started it all, making this a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network. Think you'd like working with us at Civic Media? We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin. If you have the right skills to join our team, let's talk. Civic Media is a proud equal opportunity employer committed to diversity and inclusion, along with the growth and development of all current and future employees. If you're interested or are part of an organization who wants to know more, go to our website, civicmedia.us, and click on the Careers tab.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Mainly clear skies tonight with a low of 59. South winds 5 to 10 miles an hour. Chance for scattered thunderstorms tomorrow, high of 77. A blend of clouds and sun. Lows dip down to about 49. Tomorrow night, mainly clear. Bright sunshine expected Wednesday with daytime highs approaching 70. 76 Thursday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Eric Height. Currently, it's 73 degrees.
Broadcasting to Waukesha at 101.1 FM. Broadcasting to Southeast Wisconsin at 540 AM. This is The Shaw, WAUK.
The Devil's Advocates. So relevant, they have one foot in tomorrow.
And we're back. Thank you for listening to The Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Welcome to join us on the lines, 844-967-2789.
Sounds like the UW marching band. They're getting ready, Dom. Big kickoff coming this Saturday, 2:30 p.m. all across the Civic Media Network. You know, we got Badgers on four different stations. And better yet, you can stream them, Dom. You know, some of the major league sports, we don't have the streaming rights here at Civic Media, but we do on Badger football. So very excited. WRJN, that's going to be our Badger flagship station. 1400 AM, you can listen to the Badgers this Saturday. Pre-game starting at 12:30, kickoff at 2:30. But you can listen on 1400 AM and 99.9 FM in Racine, Kenosha, and the Milwaukee Metro, Dom. And if you want crystal clear coverage anywhere, well, you can stream the game right here on the Civic Media app. Get it in your pocket. But we're playing the Badger game all across the state. WFHR. 1320 AM in North Central Wisconsin, WLAK Amory, Wisconsin, Lake Air, and WRCE Radio from the Center, News from the Center, Badgers from Richland Center on WRCE. So very excited about the upcoming kickoff. And Dom, I don't know if you noticed, I got my Brewer cap on right now, man. Brewers won 8 in a row. This team is red hot. The Brewers are going to the World Series, or at least the playoffs. I'm feeling pretty nice, confident.
I went to the game yesterday. Actually got the first crack at the Civic Media seats.
Oh, no
at
one.
The club level. Yeah, yeah, man. Went to the game. Had a great time.
Did you go back in the PNC bar area, the club area?
No. I didn't make it back there. But yeah, it was great. It was a beautiful sunny day. Of course, a glorious victory, like a 7-run, 6-inning or something like that. It was a lot of fun. So thank you, Civic Media. Great seats. Folks, if you ever get an opportunity to call in and, you know, do something to win those seats, take that opportunity. Trust me.
We might have some Phillies tickets for this weekend, but not today. You'll have to keep listing all week long, each and every day.
You big tease. Crudy, the Badgers, though, I know your beloved Badgers. I know you're super excited. I had to pull it up. The AP rankings right now has Wisconsin Badger ranked number 19. How do you feel about that ranking, man?
I feel great going into the preseason, ranked 19th. How could I feel bad about that, man? We got a new coach. I mean, no offense to a young man named Graham Mertz, but this highly touted, most highly recruited quarterback in the history of Wisconsin recruiting, it's a bit of a bust. I mean, he had one really, really good game and like three very questionable seasons. So I'm very happy that we're moving on from Graham Mertz. And I gotta be honest, Dom, I was never a big Paul Chryst guy. You know that. Not since Paul Chryst gave a speech at the the convention center here in town, the Monona Convention Center. And he was the warm-up act for Scott Walker the day he was introduced as the head football coach. And I don't know who was the worst public speaker. It was close. I mean, probably Paul Christ is a worse public speaker than Scott Walker. He was bad. Now, Jim Leonard, I liked him quite a bit. I wish he was given the opportunity, but if you're going to go big and you're going to win championships, you go get a guy that used to be an Ohio State coach, Luke Fickell. I got high aspirations for this season. And we got a 240-pound quarterback, this Tyler Mordecai, man. I think he's a really big kid. I have not seen him play in person, but I look forward to hosting a few friends at the house up the cabin, going to do a little Badger game thing. Dom, and when I go up to the cabin, I can listen to it on the radio, 1320 AM, or I can always stream it. Perfect, Matt LePay. And actually, it's no longer Mike Lucas. I believe Tauscher is going to offer the color commentary. Mark Tauscher, known to many Badger fans, but very excited to be the Badger Football Network affiliate in four different markets across the state of Wisconsin. You know, this is what I live for, Dom. This is the politics, but mostly the sports. But this is a Mathy Monday edition. Here's a math equation for you, Dom.
All right.
1, 1, 3, 5, 8, 0, 9 plus 215.
That sounds like a 4-time indicted, 2-time impeached, soon to be felon. That's what that sounds like to me.
Or at least the underestimate of the man's weight. That is the booking number.
8-0-9.
That is the Trump booking number. And of course, what he self-reputed his weight to be. I don't believe him, man. 215.
Come on. You know, it was interesting. Seeing a lot of batters, you know, watching the ball game yesterday at I guess American Family Field, watching the Brewers play. And, you know, some of these guys are like, you know, 6'1", 6'2", 215, 215, 220. You know, they don't look anything like Donald Trump.
They call them power hitters usually a guy in Major League Baseball that's like 6'2", 6'3". 215, it's probably hitting a 3 or 4 slot in the order. It's probably a power hitter.
Yeah. So Donald Trump is a, you know, basically a Major League Baseball player.
You know, he did play baseball. He claimed he was getting scouted, but it is my understanding, and we covered this story some years ago, it's all a lie. He was a terrible hitter. And we researched, and someone actually went to the summer league that he played in and pulled up like the old, you know, because they keep scorebooks, right? I mean, and there's no way the guy batted over like the Mendoza line. Low 200s, tops. He was never a big league prospect, that guy.
Come on, are you kidding me? He just went off on his propaganda Twitter that said he won the course a championship again this year, you know, so congratulations, Mr. X president.
Well, he might be a major league BSer. I'd believe that about him. I mean, Rick Riley, a guy from Sports Illustrated, wrote a book about the former president, his propensity for basically cheating at the game of golf. And golf is a good sign of personal character. You know, a man that cheats at golf. And I don't mean, you know, improving your lie a little. I mean, a guy who, like, you know, drops 2-3 balls, improve. Anyway, so let's just say he lacks for personal character.
No.
And a short game. And 215 my ass. He probably shoots 215 on 18. Come back with us. More Devils. When you've said Devils, you've said it all.
Your home for the Devils Advocates.
Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6.
On The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK.
CBS News Brief. The rush is on to batten down the hatches in Florida as Tropical Storm Idalia strengthens. Volunteers are handing out sandbags in Tampa Bay.
Better to be prepared than not prepared, so let's try to help out our citizens, you know.
Idalia could hit the state's west coast as a Category 3 hurricane. President Biden and Vice President Kamala Harris met with family members of the late Martin Luther King Jr. 60 years to the day he delivered his I Have a Dream speech. The president says action is needed to combat racist attacks like the one in Jacksonville, Florida over the weekend that left three people dead.
We have groups of a significant minority but I think they want to change the direction that we've been working on so hard and making such significant progress on.
There's an all clear following a shelter-in-place order on the campus of the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill. CBS News Brief, I'm Wendy Gillette.
With news on WAUK The Shaw, I'm Stuart J. Waddles. A family of four and a pet were able to get out of a fire in a New Berlin home this morning. It happened in a neighborhood near I-43 and Racine Avenue with the smoke visible from Milwaukee. A firefighter suffered smoke inhalation and was taken to the hospital. The Rosebud Cinema in Wauwatosa could experience a potential revival.
The city has a meeting next month to explore the possibility of revitalizing the theater as a community initiative. Following its closure due to the COVID-19 pandemic, the theater remains shut with no intentions to resume operations. Atosa Alderman envisions the theater being reborn through community backing. Pichwava, Civic Media News.
A problem at the Imagination Station playground in Oconomowoc has been exterminated. The park is back open. Last week, city officials closed the play area after a mouse and a burrow hole were found inside the rubber ground. With news on WAUK The Shaw, I'm Stuart J. Waddles.
The kids are heading back to class, but when the subject is school, we have to talk about the first kindergarten started in Wisconsin. Marguerite Schurz created what is known as America's First Kindergarten in 1856, teaching a small class at her family's home in Watertown. It's about 50 miles west-northwest of Milwaukee. So can you guess, when did kindergarten become part of the state's public school system? The answer coming up. Schurz learned about kindergarten in Germany, where the idea was common. It wasn't in America, and her class grew so quickly, she had to move to a bigger space. Today, the building remains as a Watertown museum. So did you guess when kindergarten became part of the public school system in the state? It was 1898, but 42 years prior, the Schurz School started it all, making this a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Jerry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Sometimes I just cannot believe all the storms we've gone through here. I can only hope that we'll be able to leave this house to you one day, baby. You're our legacy.
Planning for these disasters will make sure we're safe, and is the best way to protect that legacy.
Protect your legacy. Visit ready.gov/plan for the tools and tips you need to start your emergency preparedness plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free.
I would have gotten away with it too if it wasn't for those meddling devil's advocates.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, a mathy Monday edition. Not great at math on the radio. Try to avoid it. Dom, we promised the little bit of Rojo coverage, but before we go there, the president's wife coming to my hometown, Madison, Wisconsin, a little bit later this week. Jesse OPP Apoyan reporting over at the Journal Sentinel. First Lady Jill Biden will visit Madison on Thursday to highlight the importance of cancer screenings, meet with teachers, and attend a campaign fundraiser with U.S. Senator Tammy Baldwin. I would ask you, Dom, who do the Republicans have running against Tammy Baldwin?
Let's see. Nobody, with the exception of a possibility. Former Milwaukee County Sheriff David Eclair Jr. has not said no yet.
He's not said no. Dom, it's the second visit to Wisconsin from the Biden family this month. President Joe Biden touted Bidenomics as a path to strengthening the middle class in an August 15th visit to a manufacturing plant in Milwaukee. I was there. We brought it to you live right here on the Civic Media Network. The president also visited a union training center in DeForest earlier this year. The first couple's visits, along with the Republican presidential debate held last week in Milwaukee, illustrate the key role Wisconsin will play in the upcoming national elections. Dom, that's why we're here, because we know that this is a key state. Dom, the First Lady's Madison visit will begin with a tour and listening session to highlight the importance of early detection and improving access to cancer screenings, according to the White House. Jill Biden will be joined in the tour by Tammy Baldwin, who's up for re-election next year. Unopposed currently. The tour is part of the White House Cancer Moonshot, a national effort to prevent cancer deaths, first launched when Joe Biden was vice president. And Biden, Joe Biden in this case, will then speak at an educator. Apparently one of my educators didn't do a very good job. Educator appreciation event with National Education and American Federation of Teachers. In the evening, Biden is scheduled to attend and speak at a political finance event with Tammy Baldwin, going to help her raise some money, Dom. And Baldwin is seeking a third term in the Senate, is yet to draw a high-profile Republican challenger, banking mogul Eric Hovde, Franklin businessman Scott Mayer, and former Milwaukee County Sheriff David N. Clark Jr. are considering bids, and University of Stevens Point student announced a campaign earlier this month. They don't even name her. She's got to qualify for the ballot first. Then they'll give her a name, I suppose, Dom. Who do you like? I realized the Eric Hovde for Senate sign. It's not on Highway 51. I think I misinformed the audience. It's 3990 coming south, but yeah, it's maybe an hour south of Wausau. Just this random sign for Eric Hovde out by
just
the interstate.
Just one sign.
One,
you know, it's lonely it's sign. Gotta be. It's got to be tough. You know, Tammy's obviously a strong incumbent. And they're, you know, Donald Trump is right now looking like he's going to be the top of the ticket. And he's going to get blown away in a general if that comes to fruition. And anybody who, you know, signs on for that is also going to get, you know, some shrapnel from Donald Trump being at the top of the ticket. It's going to be terrible. Donald Trump, if on the ballot, will get his ass handed to him, as will all the down-ballot Republicans.
Dominic, I can't.
Why would you want to even exercise that crappy job?
Dominic, I can't wait to lay out some of the mathiness that I've done for our audience. Myself and the Washington Post, they did a little, let's call it journalism themselves. We'll just lay out some of Trump's trials and the electoral calendar, and it's going to get really ugly out there this spring. I can't wait, Dom.
I mean, it's coming quick.
May you live in interesting times. These are going to be the most interesting times in American political history, like the first week of March. It's going to get crazy up in here.
There's events and calendars leading up to that. There, you know, motions have to be in by and yada yada. So there's other dates culminating in the trial starting on March 4th. So it's going to get real interesting. Hell, Mark Meadows testified today.
That was sort of a mini trial, they described it as. Dom, maybe we'll talk about that a little bit more in the happy hour. You can join us here at 844-967-2789. But we promised coverage of Rojo, Dom. Well, last week, and I apologize to you and the audience, got a little busy doing a little business of Civic Media, and I was not able to attend the Ron Johnson press conference in Madison on Friday, held at the Urban League, because apparently Ron was putting his foot in it in a couple of different ways, or maybe he's saying exactly what he meant to say, right? Because these are his positions. The headline over at the Journal Sentinel: Johnson says Wisconsin fake electors should not face charges for political activity. Well, it's how self-exonerating of the senator to hold this opinion.
Well, I mean, that would be fine if that political activity, if it involves something else besides fraud. Just suggesting that maybe it wasn't political activity, Ron.
Dom, I want to follow this piece up with the Jennifer Rubin piece on John Eastman, the lawyer, you know, the Eastman memo. And Eastman's up on disbarment in California currently. And the let's just say, the prosecutor of the disbarment has laid out the case against the lawyers that represented the fake elector scheme. But let's talk about this one for just a minute. Here in Wisconsin, Dom, 10 Republicans who signed paperwork claim to be electors for Donald Trump in 2020 after he lost re-election should not face criminal charges,
no.
U.S. Senator Ron Johnson said Friday. The Republican senator, I know it's hard for me to say, described the actions by the group of Wisconsin Republicans as, air quotes, Dom, political activity. He made his comments a day after the former president was arrested in Fulton County, Georgia, on charges that he attempted to overturn the 2020 election results in the state, the fourth criminal case he faces while campaigning for a second term in the White House.
And I'm curious to know if Ron Johnson would think that what Trump did in Georgia resulting in this fourth criminal case, if Donald Trump was just, you know, exercising his political activity.
Oh, absolutely. That is his attitude, Dom. I mean, I've heard the guy enough on Righty Whitey Talk Radio. Ron's on it every day. Every day. I've heard him all around the dial. But anyways, a little bit more here. The group of Wisconsin Republicans who signed the fake elector paperwork are not facing criminal charges. Yep. But Democratic Governor Tony Evers said earlier this month, those participants in the fake elector scheme should be held accountable. Here's a quote from Rojo to the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. The fact that we're criminalizing political activity, that's a danger to our democracy. It shouldn't happen. Says the man that was willing to, what?
Engage in political activity by taking, what, some of those fraudulent elector documents and handing them off to the vice president at the time, Pence.
Contradicting the will of Wisconsin voters in Michigan for good measure. Johnson said the use of alternative electors was nothing new, referencing a situation where Democrats in Hawaii submitted alternative electors in 1960s presidential election, despite a certification that Republican Richard Nixon won the state. However, the 1960 race in Hawaii was still undergoing a recount at the time of the certification that eventually found Democrat John Kennedy won the state over Nixon by a margin of about 100 votes, according to the New York Times. This is different than the 2020 election, when Wisconsin and other competitive states that narrowly voted for Biden had already completed recounts, cementing his victory in the state. That doesn't bother Ron much. Here's one more quote, Dom. It's a way to preserve a legal position. Should courts rule that there were issues in the election, Democrats have done this, Republicans have done this, Johnson said. Dom, I'm not clear that they have.
Oh, he must be referring to Hawaii, which, of course, is not a comparable situation. Continuing on, Johnson also said he's not been subpoenaed in a federal grand jury investigation into Donald Trump's efforts to overturn the 2020 election result. The group of GOP electors were at the center of the indictment handed down on August 2nd. Johnson was not mentioned by name in the indictment, but the document mentions an incident in 2021 involving one of his aides texting a staffer to former Vice President Mike Pence, informing him Johnson wanted to hand Pence the votes from fake electors in Wisconsin and Michigan. You know, just political activity, Crudy. Democratic Senator Tammy Baldwin said earlier this month that there should be some level of accountability for those who participated in the plot. There has to be accountability for perpetuating the big lie, she said in Port Washington. We know who won the election in Wisconsin. The folks who oversee the election said it was the most secure election we ever had. While Michigan's attorney general has charged the state's false electors, Democratic Attorney General Josh Call has not said whether the state is looking into charging Wisconsin's fake electors. That group includes Wisconsin, Republican Wisconsin Election Commission appointee Bob Spindell and Andrew Hitt, then the chairman of the state Republican Party. A jury trial in a civil lawsuit against the Republican fake electors will take place in a Dane County Circuit Court in September of 2024, just before the presidential election. Lots of things to put on your calendars, folks, between now and election day.
844-967-2789. A couple of text contributions on the app text line, Dom. Here's one from Mark in the Sack. Is confession good for the soul, Ron Johnson? Question mark. This is, after all you did, might have been better to remain silent, and then all caps, than to remove all doubt. Hardy, har, har. And then Jeff from Shorewood, who is an attorney, as he pointed out to us. We met Jeff the other night. Nice meeting you, Jeff. Criminal and political activities are not mutually exclusive. Could be political and criminal, for F's sake. 844-967-2789. Let's get to the phones, Dom. Our fair audience, we love talking to you. Start with you today, Ralph from Milwaukee. Welcome, Ralph. What do you got for us?
Hey, Ralph.
Good afternoon, guys. I just wanted to acknowledge Senator Tammy showing up yesterday at Mexican Fiesta and spending time with us there. I thought it was great, and I think she does a dynamic job and so many good things for Wisconsin compared to Rojo, who tries to just get his campaign donation money back. And so it was just a shout out I wanted to give for Senator Tammy, and I hope she keeps up the good work, and 2024 would be no problem.
Well, I think she's nearly unbeatable, Ralph. Did she speak yesterday at the Mexican Fiesta Fest?
No. She was flirting with the people there in attendance.
We call that campaigning.
Yes, well, I didn't want to make it that.
It's official. Only flirting, I mean, when Dom does it.
And I've only seen that at the Roman coin, so that'll never happen. So.
I can't help it, Ralph. It's in me. That's awesome. Thank you for the update. Glad to hear Tammy out with the people, hanging out, showing some love. Yeah, she's looking strong, Ralph, and hopefully she'll roll over whoever the Republicans decide to send up against her.
And she'll be campaigning with Jill Biden in Madison and raising a few does, a few Finskies perhaps for the cause. 844-967-2789. Sharky calling in from Racine, listening on WRJN, perhaps. Welcome, Sharky. What do you got for us?
Hey, Sharky.
Good evening, you guys. Hey, thanks for the coverage. Thanks for the product. I love it. I really appreciate this chance. I don't want to take out much of your. I don't want to take much of your thunder, but as I'm listening to you guys with all this back and forth, the Johnsons and the electors and everything, even though it was much smaller scale, it just comes back to mind back when the Walker days, the Voss days, and all them shenanigans that they pulled when they were pushing the gerrymandering sort of districts, and how they hid. They hired their attorneys. They moved them from a special place in the Capitol to a special place out of the Capitol and hiding, while they got all their computers going and all their this and all their that and all their advice, and it was like so dirty. And to this day, to my knowledge, they're still missing, documents, hard drives, things disappeared real fast after they got caught with the site that they secretly left, from the Capitol to the decision-making process, Mr. Walker and party. But it's disgusting. Nothing's changed, but it got worse.
Sharky, you're right. It has gotten worse under the current Republicans. Come back, more devils. It just gets better.
The kids are heading back to class, but when the subject is school, we have to talk about the first kindergarten started in Wisconsin. Marguerite Schurz created what is known as America's First Kindergarten in 1856, teaching a small class at her family's home in Watertown. It's about 50 miles west-northwest of Milwaukee. So can you guess, when did kindergarten become part of the state's public school system? The answer coming up. Schurz learned about kindergarten in Germany, where the idea was common. It wasn't in America, and her class grew so quickly, she had to move to a bigger space. Today, the building remains as a Watertown museum. So did you guess when kindergarten became part of the public school system in the state? It was 1898, but 42 years prior, the Schurz School started it all, making this a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Wisconsin Decides 2024. The road to the White House begins here. And Civic Media delivered with all-day coverage of the first Republican presidential primary debate.
The only network with every show live from Milwaukee.
The Republicans are on the wrong side of policy, on the wrong side of the people.
Wrong side of history.
Conversation you won't find anywhere else.
On your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw.
Lows level off around 59 tonight under mainly clear skies. Winds out of the south, 5 to 10 miles an hour. Chance for scattered storms tomorrow. Daytime highs approaching 77. A mix of clouds and sun. Mainly clear skies tomorrow night, 49. Bright sunshine expected Wednesday with a high of 70. 76 Thursday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 73 degrees.
Keeping Southeast Wisconsin informed, engaged, and entertained. This is The Shaw.
540 AM and 101.1 FM. WAUK.
60% of the time, they're right every time. The Devil's Advocates.
And we are back. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Love it when you join us on the phones at 844-967-2789.
Dominic, we were talking about U.S. Senator Ron Johnson, former friend of this product. Rojo, tried to once again minimize the activities of the January 6th and the fake electors. And of course, he's got a little, let's just say, insurrectionist blood on his hands. If not directly, certainly he was willing to, let's just say, be the vessel of delivery. But Ron also came out and said Janet Protasiewicz, newly impaneled Supreme Court justice, liberal, won by 11 points, she should recuse. Shouldn't rule on the gerrymandering. Because she said the maps are rigged. She showed an opinion. Now, I would say every Federalist selected for the U.S. Supreme Court and every conservative, will-loving candidate that has run for the Wisconsin Supreme Court, they've all shown their true colors in one shape or form. But they maybe just didn't blab it out quite as clearly as Protasiewicz might have. But the threat from LeMahieu, well, more so from Robin Voss, the Speaker of the Assembly, Republican leader, well, if she doesn't vote right, or more accurately, if she being Protasiewicz doesn't recuse, well, then we might have to impeach her. And I also saw the former president over the weekend says, it's time to impeach Joe Biden because they did it to me. So this will be the newest tool of the Republicans, right? And I would point out, you don't hear him talking much about policy, but you hear a lot about defunding the investigations of Donald Trump, impeach Supreme Court justices that would have the temerity to express a public opinion on what they think of the very rigged, most partisan maps in the nation, the ones that we live under, the ones that diminish democracy, small d democracy here in the state of Wisconsin. Because when you have a 2/3 supermajority predicated on a minority vote here in the state of Wisconsin, that is rule. Tyrannical rule of the minority, I would say. And sure, you recast the maps, and that doesn't mean it's all Democratic rule forever. But come on, man, you say you got better candidates and better ideas. It's time to prove it. And I think this is a stunt that's going to backfire on these Republicans, Dom. A, do I think that Robin Voss would execute on a plan to go after a Supreme Court justice? Absolutely.
Yes.
Absolutely. I think you're going to see this play out starting tomorrow with Megan Wolf, with the leader of the Wisconsin Elections Commission. Of course, her only crime is try to uphold sanity during a freaking coronavirus pandemic in the face of the big lie, the rigging of the election, right? Because her only crime was trying to uphold the truth in the state of Wisconsin. These Republicans are not governing predicated on truth anymore. And I tell you what, get in their way, they're going to steamroll you. So Janet Protasiewicz, I have every thought that Robin Voss will carry through on his threat. And I hope there is a political price to pay for that. But I think they got the hubris, Tom. I think they'll go after it because there is no way Robin Voss remains the Speaker of the Assembly with fair maps.
Well, that's interesting. We just talked about the Wisconsin Legislative Council that said, hey, no, you got to have four, not three. Three is not four.
It's to remove four. Megan Wolf as the head of the Wisconsin Elections
Commission. Oh, I mean, how are they going to try to remove her? They don't have the legal authority to do so. She's not even showing up tomorrow. So
well, they're going to take up her nomination and then decline to confirm her for renomination to the position. And despite the fact that she hasn't actually been nominated, they're going to accept the nomination and then decline to confirm the nomination and effectively try to uproot her from this position for partisan end. Because she's done nothing wrong, of course, except try to do her job with character and integrity and morals.
How many recounts did we have? Hell, they did a recount in Milwaukee County. Biden got more votes.
Well, they don't talk about that.
Wisconsin Institute for Law and Liberty, the Wisconsin Legislative Bureau. I mean, lots of people have looked. I mean, hell, Trump paid for recounts, right?
Yeah, but what did Trump say the other night in the interview with Tucker Rhymes with Tucker Carlson? Well they know in Wisconsin.
We've seen. Of course, it's all. But that's fine. You can follow the ramblings of a lunatic mind if that's what you want to do. But those are not the facts. And the facts are all the recounts, all the efforts conservatives are saying, this is all bunk, folks. We know this. You know that. You want to take a line from Trump? I know it. And you know it. And if tomorrow the Wisconsin legislature somehow tries to take Megan Wolf out of her job,
they will.
With knowing that they only have, that they didn't have the votes necessary, the ruling that they think they had is incorrect, is wrong, is not lawful, well, then they continue to perpetuate unlawfulness. Of course, that won't stand. It's like, going to go to the Supreme Court. It's going to go to court. You're going to lose again. You're going to continue to lose. Why? Because they know. They know, Crudy, if it's even close to even, they don't have the candidates and they don't have the policies. If they did, they'd be rolling them out right now. Where's your candidate to take on Senator Tammy Baldwin? What's your policy to advance, to move Wisconsin forward? Republicans taking out Megan Wolf?
Well, that and impeaching Supreme Court Justice Janet Protasiewicz, because that's how you preserve the power. You preserve the power by using any means necessary to block the change, right? They're conserving the current maps, Dom. They're being real conservatives. 844-967-2789. Let's try to sneak one or two more in. Bill from Oconomowoc, appreciate your patience.
Hey, Bill.
Good afternoon. Say, as far as Rojo goes, I think somebody ought to knock on his door. In fact, I may, or I'd like to, and say, Rojo, you got two choices. You're an illegal politician according to the 14th Amendment, Section 3, which states if you willingly and knowingly participate, aid and abet an insurrection against the country, you are no longer qualified for office. So that disqualifies Rojo and probably Fly Robin, Fly Voss. All the rest, they're illegal, and I think we give them a choice. Resign or face prosecution. I think it's time for the Democrats to grow a spine and get right in their face and say, guys, you got two choices. Either quit or we're coming after you. It's in the Constitution, again, 14th Amendment, Section 3. It states it very clearly. They have two choices, resign or be prosecuted. I think that's it.
Bill, I swear you're trying to steal Mark from the Sax Thunder. He's been hammering that one for a long time. A couple of the text lines. Janet can recuse if Hagedorn does too. Hagee was involved in making these maps back when they were made. Here's another one. I am so ready for the candidacy of Sheriff David A. Clark Jr. Bring it on. Sorry, that's disgraced former Sheriff David A. Clark Jr. to you. You serious, Clark?
And torch this time in America.
Come back with us. More of your calls, a happier, happy hour, a Mathy Monday edition. And, Dom, the case against John Eastman It's really damning. We'll lay it out for you next.
The kids are heading back to class, but when the subject is school, we have to talk about the first kindergarten started in Wisconsin. Marguerite Schurz created what is known as America's First Kindergarten in 1856, teaching a small class at her family's home in Watertown. It's about 50 miles west, northwest of Milwaukee. So can you guess, when did kindergarten become part of the state's public school system? The answer coming up. Schurz learned about kindergarten in Germany, where the idea was common. It wasn't in America, and her class grew so quickly, she had to move to a bigger space. Today, the building remains as a Watertown museum. So did you guess when kindergarten became part of the public school system in the state? It was 1898, but 42 years prior, the Schurz School started it all, making this a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to The Shaw, WAUK 540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.